Greetings from Muddy Morden. I'm a cyclist, so I know all about the rules of the road and how none of them apply to me. When I'm touring around London on my early 1970s drop handlebar 10-speed Triumph Tourer, I'm not just king of the road. I rule the pavements and the shopping precincts too. Traffic lights mean nothing to me, and about the only time I dismount is to get my credit card out at the checkout in Tesco's. If I have any shred of remorse about my outlaw antics, it's that I can't cycle fast enough to trigger speed cameras. Of course, the world takes on a different complexion through the windscreen of my Volvo. All cyclists are a menace, and the worst ones of all are the fundamentalist missionary cyclists who actually stop at traffic lights. These are the evangelical guerrilla lycra louts who balance on their pedals, luminescing in front of me, while the lights shift to amber and I turn puce with mounting rage. They're costing me microseconds. I don't know what it is about lycra, neoprene and other day-glow sporting get-ups, but all of a sudden, formerly perfectly normal people start thinking that they're masters of the universe as they throb and glow at you like ghastly, overstuffed, pulsating fluorescent sausages. It's really not appetizing. I try to give them a wide berth because I'm terrified they might suddenly burst and leave me dripping in gloopy, Swarfiga-like ectoplasm. On the River Blackwater, you've always got to keep a lookout for them. Last summer, me and Marlin, that's my 18-foot sailfish, were romping along flat out off Hosey Island at our ultimate hull speed of around 2.5 knots, when the horizon started to strobe with sickly livid hues. Next thing, this speeding catamaran's heading straight up my chuff, and a strobing technicolour lunatic on a trapeze is shouting "Starboard!" at me, as if that's got anything to do with anything. We're not tacking across one another. He's overtaking me, so his starboard battle cry is completely irrelevant. As they swish past, I reel back, temporarily blinded by the sun's piercing reflection in their sinister wraparound mirror shades. It was all a blur, but I'm sure they'd daubed their faces with day-glow sunblock, looking like a cross between Mel Gibson's Braveheart and a quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Later in the season, I was beating out of the cone on my summer holes when I came across a squadron of dinghies. Pessimists, I'd say, by the look of them. It was one of those two-handed parent-child races where you get extra points for inflicting the most misery on your kid. I could tell it was more important than life or death, so I did my best to keep out of the way. But at the back of the pack, there's a day-glow dad and a son, about 30 yards off my port quarter. They're on port tack, and there's simply no possibility they're going to cross my wake within 20 yards of my stern. Yet all of a sudden, Dad puts in an elaborate tack and shouts at me, "I'm racing!" I'm puzzled, so I cheerily wave back and call out, "I'm sailing!" Then I get it. Just in case he can't make his son take the full rap for not winning, he can blame it on me as well. It's a life lesson for the little lad, a vital skill for survival in the boardroom and yacht club committee room alike. Of course, although racers find it difficult to tell whether we cruisers are actually moving, we are, in our woolly, shambling way, also racing. On the East Coast, you generally need to get somewhere before the water runs out. At least, that was my plan as I motored up to Woodbridge, in the upper reaches of the Deben. But none of the pilot books mention a vital piece of local knowledge, namely, that although they stopped televising It's a Knockout decades ago, it's alive and kicking on the Deben. Just as you get to the narrowest section of the river, with the most densely packed moorings, there's a cacophony of bells, sirens, whistles and guns, and dinghies buzz you from every direction. In my efforts to avoid them, I'd come to a dead stop. I was a sitting duck, and I can see what's going to happen next. The river's a thrashing maelstrom of lime green, Barbie pink, tango orange and banana yellow. So intent are the fluorescent mob on cutting one another up. I simply don't register in their field of vision, which of course is further limited by their special river deep and racing mirror shades, which also have mirrors on the inside. Whack! The middle dinghy thumps poor Marlin right in the gut, fortunately rounding up just before impact. The woman crew shouts to me, "Are you all right?" Momentarily, the man aims the death ray function in his wraparound shades into her soul. It's all part of the rough and fumble of cruising life. No harm done. But if you think the Dayglow mob are bad enough, the ones you really need to look out for are blokes in polka dot cravats on clotted cream-coloured wooden yachts garnished with rich treacle varnish. Unfortunately, the classy ensemble is ruined by the myriad yacht club burgees, which give the overall effect of a Texas used car lot on rodeo day. These fellas are a breed. As I was crossing the Blackwater on starboard tack one day, I was converging with one such yacht on port tack. The man would not acknowledge my existence in any way, until at the last moment I had no choice but to tack away. With upturned palms and raised eyebrows, I queried his inaction. His response was typical of the type. "Under Section 3, Subsection 2, Appendix B of the Treaty of Poitiers, I would have given way in ample time." My response was typical of my type. I called him something he'd never heard before and showed him a hand signal widely used on the lower deck in the Merchant Marine. His crew smirked back behind his back and shot understanding glances at me. All I can say is, he's lucky I wasn't on my bicycle.